Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to the show. If this is your first time tuning in, please make sure that you go to my website at www.hownowpodcast.com. Be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And then scroll to the bottom of the page and click on the banner for this week's show, and it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can follow my playlist, like my Tuesday Tuesday. You can find out about things that are happening in my now that are going on under my Spirit Body Transformation playlist. So anywhere that you want to poke around there and see what's going on in my now. But again, be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. And again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. Let's get into this evening's show, where we're going to be talking about living your life on purpose. There are so many people that are making major pivots in their life in this year. You know, we had an eclipse that happened not too long ago, and people saw that as another time of transition. So we've had a lot of things that have been going on over the past couple of years that have caused us to be more intentional about how we're living our lives. And to help me talk about another aspect of that is my handsome guest here. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have him introduce himself at this time. Take it away.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me on here. It's great to be. We've been on another show together, but not on your show. So I really appreciate the invite to come and chat with you tonight. So my name is Jason Girado. I am a master practitioner of neurolinguistics, NLP, hypnosis, timeline therapy. I have training in HUNA, which is a Hawaiian art, polyvagal theory, and a lifelong, literally I started 8 years old, meditation and mindfulness practice. And I've taken trainings throughout my life as well. And I own a company called One Path Coaching, where I help people to really clear out anything that's getting in their way of living their purpose, define what they want to do, and then helping them get there, kind of a tour guide.
Nice, nice. I absolutely love that. And like I said, like you said, we were, blessed to join a dear friend of ours, shout out to Lydia. And we actually sat on a roundtable discussion, and that was a lovely time. And again, thank you so much for accepting my invitation to be here and to share space with me here on the show. So let's talk about this, because you have many titles to your name, and they're all quite impressive. And like you said, all are a part of you being, like you said, that quote unquote tour guide, as people are looking to live their life on purpose. So tell me a little bit about how you got into your practice and, where it's taking you up until the point of the pandemic.
Definitely. So I'll make it as short as possible. So I was born a healer. I have been a healer from, that's just what I've always known. I've always seen things, heard things, felt things. And I wasn't really mentored, or it wasn't too much acknowledged. It's in a bloodline thing. And my dad would always make comments like, oh, he reminds me of grandma, but never anything much more than that. So it was always my calling. It's, I'm blessed that my purpose and my calling and now my career are all lined up. But I've always been the person, the friend that people can come to when they needed help, and I knew when to listen and when to talk. Very important when you're helping people along their journeys. And so I went through that my whole life, and I had hit and miss, and I found ways to fulfill that in different ways. It never was a career. It never was something that I thought I would do. A typical kid, I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be, this and that. Joined the Marine Corps when I got out of high school, was 17. Kind of went on that journey. And then when I got out, well, what did we do? Well, I went to work. I got a job. That's, we get a job and we find a relationship, and you just do these things, that's probably, hopefully we can get into that tonight, kind of about these pre-programs and what other people tell us we should do. But I knew that it was always my calling to help people. And I found ways. I worked in retail leadership and worked with a lot of young folks that were starting their lives off, and whether they were in just getting out of high school and college. And I was able to help them in certain ways and help guide them. So I was able to answer some of that calling. So it helped me to do that, because like I said, I never saw this as a career. And then around the year 2000, I said, well, if I'm going to really do this, I need a toolbox. And I need these techniques and tools and something that I can really put things together, because, you know, it's great to be able to sit and listen to somebody and to give some wisdom that you have and can share. But how can I make sure they're getting the results they truly want?
Yeah.
So I started looking around and, you know, just kind of poking around different modalities and different things. And I found NLP, neurolinguistics, and it just spoke to me. I really saw that it was a science and an art. It really has, where there's these hard techniques, but at the heart of it, it's helping you. You know, the saying that we have is it's using the language of the mind to get the results you want. And so it just really, working with the unconscious mind, it really spoke to me. And the funny thing is that hypnosis was part of that NLP training. And I was like, hypnosis, I don't have any interest in that, you know, but whatever, I'll just take it as it comes. And now hypnosis is one of my go-tos. I love it because it's talking directly to the unconscious mind. And that's kind of what NLP does as well. But anyway, so I went through my training. 2008, I got an online certificate, just kind of started dipping my toe a little deeper in the waters. 2010, I went and actually took the full training, became a practitioner. Still didn't do anything with it other than helping people at work and really just kind of doing that, never really seeing like, I could do this and this is what my calling is. And at that point, people were supporting me and saying, hey, you should really take off and do this, and that's your calling. And for just those reasons, I just really kind of was hesitant. And then in 2015, I got my master practitioner, and the universe said, okay, this is it. And a good friend of mine who I'd mentored and I'd helped, you know, 15 years before, we'd actually worked together, he came and approached me and said, hey, I hear you do this coaching stuff. And he was in a point in his life that he needed some support. You know, he had one business just started and he wanted to start another business and start a family. And I went to his wedding. My wife and I actually went to his wedding, and he caught me there and said, hey, and he became my first client. And it went from there.
Wow. You see, and that's something that's so amazing. It's amazing how, you know, just like you said, we were raised in an age, and I think, you know, so I'm a Gen Xer, and I'm sure you fall in that category as well.
Yes.
And if I'm wrong, please correct me. But no. Yes, what you know, we did the standard things. You know, we took on professions that were noteworthy, like you said, an attorney. Mine, I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a banker. I wanted to be a ballerina. We, you know, even though we may have had gifts, they weren't anything that, you know, it was almost taboo to talk about it, or you just talked about it on the surface. You really never dug deep about it, and you didn't know where to look. And we didn't have the technology that we have now. You know, we had the card catalog, and we were limited to what was at the card catalog at the library. And you know, there weren't computers there to open up things in the world that we could poke into the way we can now. And so, you know, it's interesting to hear the stories and to hear how people arrive to where they are, you know, based on, you know, the information. You don't know what you don't know. And so it's just, it's almost like, well, you know, I know about this, but I don't know who else knows about this or what I'm supposed to do with it. And then comes that point where, you know, it's an obedience. You know, it's okay, I'm being called to do this, you know, source is aligning to tell me that I need to do this. And what am I going to do with that? Am I going to ignore it, or am I going to walk in it? And so it's definitely a journey. And I thank you for sharing that so far, because it means so much when we're trying to live our life on purpose, when we're trying to discover what our purpose is, because sometimes we don't know it because we haven't been exposed to it. We've just been exposed to all of the things that we typically hear about, you know? And so, yeah, we were talking a little bit before we got on about being stuck in thing or practicing things that we think are the norm, or we think that we're supposed to do, and we do it just, unconsciously and don't really think about, well, is this something that I'm supposed to be doing? Is this something that is serving me? All right. Right. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about, you started your business, you made that pivot. What happened next?
So in 2015, when I had that first client, I said, I there's still one lingering one out there that, physician heal thyself. I have a limiting belief and I'm dealing with that, but I had limiting beliefs. I had things that I believed that weren't going to help get me to where I wanted to go. And so, well, I couldn't do this full time. I can't do this. And to the point where, as I started getting clients, I was like, but what if I get four clients? That's not enough to quit my job. Cause I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I had been doing this for quite some time. And I was, at one point was an area manager. I was a trainer. I was an HR. Yeah. I was doing pretty well. And that's hard to turn away. We all have our values, and money was higher because living in the Bay Area, that becomes a value really quick just to survive and to do what you want to do. And so I was like, but what if I get four clients or five clients? But it's not enough. And then I'm going to be so busy. And so I was impeding that process by doing that. But I was taking clients and I was in a position where I was setting my own schedule. So what I did is I was doing part-time with my business. I would see clients on Tuesdays. I had an office share in a city called San Carlos with some therapists and some other people that were doing, family therapy and things of that nature. And that was my day. That was my day to see clients and to try to build my business. And so for brevity, I worked at that for a while and did it. And then 2020. And if I could just say, let's all just take a nice deep breath and just, we're through for the most part, we're through that. But, I literally had a client sign up on the Friday before everything closed down. And we had an appointment to meet in person on Tuesday. And that's when everything closed down. And I had to call her and cancel that appointment. And then it was about like, so what do you do? And what does this look like? And I was fortunate enough, family-wise, my wife works a position where she was able to work from home. And I was in a position I worked for a company that was considered, that it had to be open. Mm-hmm. One of those businesses that was necessary. So I was able to stay employed while doing that. It's the funny, just to go back real quick, because how life works out. So my wife works in technology, works in tech. And she had been telling me for years, why don't you see clients online? And I said, well, it's energy and it's that feeling and it's that person to person. And I was like, it's not going to work. And it's just not. And I kept pushing it away. Well, 2020, that was my only option. So we went through what we went through. I did get COVID at one point early on. I was working with the public but we ended up moving. So this is my life journey. And so my wife and I, my family lives about 110 miles from where we were living at the time. Okay. But Bay Area miles, that was 2 to 3 hours drive one way. And so my dad's older. We decided, you know what? Let's move. A lot of other life things going on, but we decided to sell our house, move, buy a house. And went through all that. Brevity, once again, things all lined up, things worked out. Right. We took that leap though. We really, my wife and I, we had a conversation and she's a planner and she supports me in so many ways and I love her to death. She's a planner and she lined it up and it'll work and let's do it. And I said, okay. And we took the leap and we got to a place where things lined up even further where bills are a little bit less. We have a house I have a home office I'm sitting in right now. Nice. To go from a 760 square foot house to a 2300 square foot house. And so that was the opportunity. So kind of jumping ahead. So I went through COVID. Before that, people needed help. People always, we all need support. Right. Through that, people needed support, and coming through that, people really need support, and we'll get into that hopefully about what that looks like and why. But so for my story, so then was working, building up. Like I said, my wife's my partner. She really. So I'm going to go back for a second. Yeah. I would come home from a really bad day of work because working in retail is tough. If you haven't done it, you know it. Or if you've been into a retail store and seen someone getting yelled at or things thrown at them, it's a rough existence. And I'd come home just burnt out. And she would say, you know, how many more signs does you need from the universe to know that it's time to take that step?
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready. I still had these limiting beliefs. I still had these challenges. I still had these blocks up, and I wasn't ready. And so finally I got to the point where I had to say yes. The knocking was so loud, I had to say yes. And in 2021, I went full-time with my own business. And I started seeing clients full-time at that point.
Wow. You see, and just like you said, there's so many nuggets there, so many things that are relatable for a lot of people. Like you said, sometimes the signs are all there, you know, and sometimes you need those people that are in your inner circle, or those people that support and see you, you know, clearly or more clear than you see yourself sometimes. And they're the ones that say, hey, they push you. You know, I'm sure that as we're listening, I can think about a person who, you know, helped me to start on my journey to writing my first book. When I wrote my first book, I used to put things on Facebook, and I would have a little, you know, and I called them little nuggets from the sidelines. It just said from the sidelines, and I would give little nuggets. And she was like, why don't you make it a book? And I'm like, nobody's going to read that. And she was like, Kim, they're really good. Just do 30 days. And that's what I did. And it was my first book. And then I remember people doing a book club and inviting me to come and read. And I was like, are you serious? Because just like you said, we have limiting beliefs. We tend to think, no, that's not going to work. That's not possible, you know? And then it becomes a whole thing. When the pandemic came, it wasn't a what now, it was a how now. That's how this show was birthed. That's why I called it How Now, because it's not a what now. It's not what are we going to do. It's just how are we going to do it differently. Right. And there was your wife. She you know, she forecasted this before it even happened. And then here it was. Everything was lining up in order for us to do it. And all we had to do was walk that path. And I love that your business is called One Path, because there's a path. And we're always looking, but we can't quite see over that hill. And some of us, because we can't see what's over that hill, won't make the strides to go and at least walk that way, to at least, or be curious enough to say, well, I just wonder, there might be something wonderful over there. And so I need to stop for a minute and say, okay, let me collect myself and start walking that way and just see what happens. So I love that you said that. There are limiting beliefs that keep us from moving forward, keep us from, you know, taking, like you said, those leaps of faith. And I think that as our listeners are listening, that's going to be something that resonates, because it definitely resonates with me. It's a matter of saying, okay, you know, I know that I've been called to do something. And just like you said, sometimes the knocking gets so loud, you don't want to get so loud you put your hands over your ears that you can't hear it anymore, that you muffle it out. It's just like, it's supposed to be that nudge that says, okay, all right, fine, I'll do it. Like that annoying little brother or sister. I'm not touching you. You're doing this. And finally, you finally break. So, I mean, it's an interesting process that we go through when we're getting to that point of saying, okay, I'm finally going to do something about it. And so when you think about your clients, what point do they come to you? Do they come when they're hearing that loud knocking, or do they come when they're, you know, just, you know, fresh and young and excited about life and the possibilities? What kind of clients were you seeing as your business was building?
You know, it's been one of those things, and just as a side note, you know, finding your niche, finding that you finding your tribe, so to speak, and finding those people that you can help the most. And I can help anybody for the most part. And so we get challenged by saying, well, I don't want to limit myself. But you don't limit yourself. You actually open yourself up to those that are out that are looking. And so the people that I really work with are those that are either stuck where they're at and they're doing okay, or they don't realize there's more for them, but they just feel something's wrong. Or those that are like, I have to move. Something's just not right in my life, but I don't know what I want. You know, mm-hmm. I was talking with somebody and having a conversation about living your purpose and living with desire. And this was a personal, someone I know personally. And I was saying, mm-hmm. you know, my business, living your purpose, living your life with desire, living with finding that passion. And she said to me, I can't even hear those words. I'm not at a point where I can even understand that, so to speak. That's not where I'm at. And I realized that I was speaking to the end, which is my training.
Right.
But you have to meet people where they're at. And that's actually one of the presuppositions of NLP is, you know, respecting their model of the world, how they see things. But so I have to meet people where they're at. And that most people that I work with are people that are stuck, no options. And whether that's a mid-level manager that's just kind of there, or somebody that's just kind of grinding and just kind of paying the bills and making enough and doing enough. You know, we find so many ways to distract ourselves from the things that we don't like in our life, instead of finding time to do things to get to the life that we want to live instead.
Right, right.
That phone, that TV.
Yes. I was going to say that's just what the pandemic did. It made people have to stop. And some people took advantage of that pivot, and some people spiraled even further into a depression because now they had to really own up and face what was in that mirror. There was no place for them to run. There was no place for them to hide. There wasn't anything for them to do but to take a hard look at themselves and where they were and where they wanted to go. And so, you know, I love that you say that it is about meeting people where they are, and it's also a matter of when people are coming to you, there's some level of acknowledgement. Just like your friend, she said, I don't recognize those words. Those words don't mean anything to me at this point, but there's some acknowledgement there. And I think that's where the healing begins, when we can acknowledge that something is going on. We don't know how to fix it, but we just know that something, you know, something needs to be done. And one thing that you said, and it's my absolute favorite thing because it is my mantra for this year, is toolboxes. You want to have the tools. We have to be prepared to deal with the problem that we have, but we have to have the proper tools to do that. And if we don't, and we don't know how to ask, just like we can have a tire iron in our car, we can have a flat tire. It doesn't mean we know how to change a flat. We have the things that we need. We know that we're supposed to have those things, but that doesn't mean that we know what to do with them. And that's where we have to be, to a point where we say, okay, no, I don't get it. No, something feels weird. Something's not right. And I know I need to fix it. You got a stomach ache, headache, something's going on, and it's consistent, it's persistent. You're like, all right, something's going on. I don't know what's going on. I need to seek out help. And we have to get to that point where we love on ourselves enough to say, okay, I don't have the answer for this, but I know somebody out there does, and I need to ask. You know, and if it starts with my friend asking, do you know about this? Can you help me? We have to get to that point of acknowledgement, because I believe that with acknowledgement comes that healing.
That's so true. You know, I start all clients with awareness. I do want to say one thing. I want to go back onto your point and add to that is, you know, there's that saying that says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. And that's the challenge, is that we get into these positions and we don't have these, to your point, these toolboxes. I went through some really challenging times in my life many years ago, and just the floor dropped out, just some relationship stuff. The floor dropped out and I was not in the right place. I've been meditating since I was really young and I had studied and stuff, but to the level that I was dealing with stuff, I wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
And as I started picking up books and started trying to read and trying to do it, it just made it a lot harder because I was fighting upstream.
Right.
But it helped. So I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying start before you need it, right? It's build that toolbox before you really, really need it. And that's even better. That's not to say that when you need it though, not to reach out, because it takes so much courage. You know, everyone says, oh, it's a sign of weakness if you ask for help. Talking about our Gen X people, you know.
Right.
And growing up and different dynamics in our lives for whatever reasons. But it's like, no, I tell people thank you so much for calling me or reaching out. It takes courage. And I realize it takes courage and I respect that. How can I help you? You know, that's the start.
Yes. And I love that. I love that. Cause like you said, you can start, you have to have that toolbox. You can start putting tools in there. It doesn't mean that some of those tools you may not have, you may have to replace some of them. You know, they worked for a while, or, you know, you may have had that hem, or you may have had something and it worked for a while. And now it's time to replace it with something newer. And that's when we know a little better, we do better. So we may have to sharpen a few of those tools that are in there. We may have to shine them up a little bit, or we may have to, you know, tend to those a little bit so that way they work a little better. So I love that we talk about that. I love to speak in analogies, and people who know me know that is so true. Those toolboxes are important. And it's like you said, being that level of awareness, that you know, ability to acknowledge. Because if we don't do that, again, we can't begin the healing process. We don't know what to ask. We don't know what the problem is.
Right.
And so I guess that's where some of the neurolinguistic comes in as well. So like I said, a person comes to you and they say, all right, you know, Jason, I'm here and I don't know what's going on. Something is going wrong. How do you begin to assess or to help them along that way or along that path?
So we start with it always with a discovery call, you know, just to get to know people, because it's about rapport and it's about that right fit and being ethical. Where if I have somebody that I talk to and they have something, an issue that if I don't see where to go to support them, I might not have all the answers. I don't have all the answers at that point. But if I can't see where to go with them, I'd refer them to somebody else. Because my whole purpose is to help people along their journey, along their path. I own a business. Don't get me wrong. But before that, I am a healer. I am here to help people find their center and to find their path, so they don't go 48 years like I did before I finally was able to step fully into my purpose. That's, you know, that's why I help the people that I do, because I don't want them to have to get to where I did. But the first thing that we do with every session, so we have a discovery call. We find out what's going on. I see a path. I see where we can go. Is we spend the first full session. It's a 2-hour session. Usually I do about an hour with people, but it's called the detailed personal history.
Okay.
And we go and dig deep on the problem, quote unquote, right, and find out what's really going on. Because I always tell people, you know, if you could just logically, if you have anger, if you could logically go, oh, stop being angry, and you just stopped being angry, that'd be wonderful.
Right.
And some people could do that. And there's training that goes behind that. And there's points where you can get to that point in your life, but most people can't. And so we find the deep dive, what's really going on. So I ask a series of questions, and it literally takes about 2 hours to really dig deep and find out what's showing up, what the unconscious mind wants them to know, what, you know, not to go too technical, but really find out what the deep structure of the problem is. And they might tell me 6 different things in their life that aren't going the way they want them. And there's usually a core issue that's feeding all of those for the most part.
Yeah.
But we just really talk. We build rapport. We have these questions. We really dig deep and find out what's going on. So at that point, as we talked earlier, it gives them some awareness as well. Because even though I'm going to say it only, quote unquote, only do a bunch of questions the first session, I'm doing language things with them. I'm actually framing things differently for them, reframing. I'm actually doing work within that very subtly to help them start shifting already and loosening things up. But they start having an awareness like, oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And that's where we begin with awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's amazing when you start talking, then all of a sudden you're listening to yourself, and then it's a difference between listening to yourself and hearing yourself.
Right.
The words are coming out of your mouth, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. You know, that's where you have people who have those aha moments. So they're just like, oh, you know, and they realize it, and it came right out of them because it was always in there. But just like you said, it's in the reframing of it. It's in the perspective and how we you know, process it, you know, and then we realize, oh, you know, now that I'm saying it, something does sound a little off, or I didn't think about it that way until they said it. And then, you know, there's some level of confirmation that comes there, you know.
Right.
But I love that, you know, you talk about asking those questions and probing and building that rapport, because, you know, we do business, like they say, with people who we know and who we trust. And there has to be that level of trust in knowing that they know that you're there to support them, and that you're there to help them along that path, that you're walking along with them. You're not pushing them, you're not dragging them. You know, you're walking alongside them. And if they take a mistake, you may help them so that they don't fall, you know, but you're at least, you know, helping to clear the path a little bit as they're moving forward. And for me, the one thing that's beautiful about building those toolboxes again is that we're creating a way to respond as opposed to react. And that's going to be something that people will be hearing me say for the rest of 2024. I'll continue to say that. It's about how we respond as opposed to react to the things that are going on around us. And when we have the proper tools, we can do that. We can't do that if we're not aware, because then we're acting out of frustration, out of anger, out of confusion. And then we're just spewing things, you know, because we haven't created that toolbox. We haven't set those, you know, parameters for, you know, what we need to do, or we haven't identified those things that trigger us. So, right. You know, I think it's a lovely process.
And in NLP, it talks about not necessarily what you think, but how you think. And by that, that's like, and that's going a little deep. We're not going to get into that tonight, of course, but it's about the structure of your thoughts and the strategies and the values and what's important to you, because our unconscious mind generalizes things and it tells you this is like that and this is like that. That's why you don't have to relearn how to ride a bike every time. That's why you don't have to remember how to relearn how to drive a car every time. So there's a lot of benefits to that, those shortcuts. However, if that shortcut is not serving you anymore, or doesn't serve you in that situation, that's where the issue comes, you know? So it's not about, well, that's wrong. It might be wrong for this situation, you know? And in polyvagal theory, we say there's a questions, and it's basically, to paraphrase it, it says, in this moment with this person or people with these circumstances, is this the level or the response that you want? And it really, that's like meditation, that's mindfulness, right? It brings you back into that moment and allows you to look at things through that clear lens and say, wait a minute, I'm responding to this because it reminded me of something else, not like the situation. And when you can rewire that, now you have freedom.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Because like you said, because we do get stuck. We get stuck into doing things that may be okay to do, but that are not serving us, which brings me to the conversation that we had prior to starting the show. I had shared with Jason that I was today years old when I realized that I've been with my company for about, I've returned to my company for about 4 years now, and I have a tower under my desk, and I also have a laptop that I work on, and I have a screen that's attached to that laptop. And every day I've been going in and turning the tower on, and the tower is not connected to anything. It's not connected to one thing. The laptop is attached to the screen that I have, and that is what works. I have a little piece that sits on my desk that powers the laptop and powers the screen that I have. And that tower was just sitting down there, and every day for the last 4 years, including this morning, I have turned on that tower and watched the light come on because it was plugged in, but it was not connected to anything. And here it was. I believed in my mind when they came to my office today and said, oh, we're going to come and take your tower. I said, but I need it. And they were like, you need it for what? It's not attached to anything. I said, yes, it is. I turn it on every day. It works. And they're like, no, Kim, it doesn't. So here it was. I thought that this was something that I needed, and it wasn't something that I needed. And I kept activating it every day, and it wasn't serving a purpose at all. And so, you know, what that taught me was, I was like, here it was. You know, you couldn't tell me that it wasn't something that I needed, but that it wasn't something that was serving me. It wasn't something that wasn't allowing me to do my work every day. And it had absolutely no value. So let's talk about, I can laugh about it now, but I was just like, I firmly believe that it was really something that was serving me, and it wasn't.
And it took an outside person to come in. Now see, this is what we talk about, generative change. Now you could have had the tools and been like, what? And just been curious. You know, a curious and flexible thinking will take you so far in this life. I'd say that's the two. I talk to high school kids and stuff. I do some work with local schools. And I always tell them, you know, they ask me, what one bit of advice would you give me? And I always tell them a flexible and a curious mindset. And if you would have been curious and said, what the heck is this thing? And play, you would have been like, wait a minute, I don't need that.
Right.
And sometimes that works. And that's with our beliefs. Sometimes we can take that step to say, let's look at where this comes from. Right. Something's off, you know, something's off in my life. What's going on? Right. What's really taking place? And not, you know, so there's, I said earlier about the deep structure, there's a surface structure and there's a deep structure. As an example, really quick. So we talk about, like, if someone's afraid of dogs, say you're in your 30s or 40s and you're afraid of dogs, but you don't really remember why. Well, maybe when you were 2 or 3 years old, you had a dog bark at you, or maybe a dog bit somebody around you or you, and then you generalized dogs are bad and you carry that with you. But if you were to stop and go, why do I not? Maybe you move in with somebody that has a dog and it's like, oh, this is a challenge. Well, what is it about dogs that I don't like? And then that might show up for you and you'd be like, wow, all these years and I never thought of it. I just kept that belief because it was what my unconscious mind wanted to protect me, thought it was protecting me. Right. This isn't a protection, but this is just something that you thought you needed it. It's the same thing. You thought you needed it to do what you needed to do and accomplish. Right. And someone helped you and said, nope, no, that's not it.
Now,
so there's some options
under
there.
My desk. I don't have any place to sit in person anymore, but it's under my desk from a long legs. But just you said it, it's amazing how we don't know. Or sometimes somebody will tell us something. Now, I'm sure when I first started, I was using it. And then there was a point when I wasn't. And for some reason, I missed that transition. There was a transition that needed to be made and I missed it. So here it was, I was continuing to do something that I thought was right to do. And so sometimes we have to, you know, we have to be able to step back, like you said, and get to the root of why it is that we're doing that. And that's one thing that we can say about these Gen Zs and some of millennials. They'll ask why. Why am I doing this? Why are we doing this? Why do we have to be here? What time do we have to be here? Why do we have to be here at that time? What's going on with that? They ask the questions. You know, some of us that are a little older, you know, we were taught to do as you're told. You were seen, not heard. We respected authority. And so if they said to do this, we told the line. We did what we were supposed to do. And like you said, we have to have that mindset that's a little more flexible that says, okay, there may be a different way to do something, or there may be something that I'm not exposed to, and to be willing to take that deeper dive. You know, so you definitely have a point there. And I wanted to share that story because it's so important for us not to get stuck or to continue to do things that are not serving us, and to be open to possibilities of what happens when that thing is removed. What does it open up? Now, what can I do? Like I said, it provided additional space for me now. So it did do something. It's now serving me in a different way. They can use those parts to give to somebody else. I have space. So now it's being used in the manner in which it's supposed to be used, and not just sitting there taking up space.
Yeah. And I'd like to say, you know, you talked earlier about my company name, my One Path, and I'm transitioning it. I'm always transitioning. I'm always growing. I'm always expanding. I tell people, you know, we have a bad habit as we get older. We try to, our world kind of shrinks. Yeah. Well, I like this restaurant. Well, these are the people I like to hang out with, just very few of them. Oh, I don't like to go here. I like to go here. The universe is ever expanding. Why should we shrink? We're going against that nature, whether you call that God, spirit, universe, that higher power is ever expanding because it's everything. It's an entity, or in it's everything. But, you know, something is that we have to look at what's going on in our lives and really own up to it. And then where I was going with this is that my company name is One Path. And what that comes from is actually the majority of it is Ram Dass has a quote that says, we're all just walking each other home. And that's where the one path is. One path doesn't mean we're all on our same individual paths, and we have to get to the same place, but we're all walking each other home. And that's the path where we're going. There's many paths up the mountaintop, but the mountaintop is still the mountaintop.
Yeah.
And so you have to find your way. You have to find what your path is to get there. And you might not see it because, like you said earlier, there might be obstacles in your way that you can't even see the top of the mountain. It's clouds, it's trees, whatever. But when you can step back and see, oh, there is more. I can take this next step. I can move. And sometimes it's just that, you know, is like I said, that person I was talking to said, I can't imagine living a purpose with passion and desire. You know what? Let's take one step forward. Let's go from where you're at now to one step towards that. And where are you at? Having that awareness, like we talked about. Let's take one step towards that. Let's maybe doing one thing today, getting rid of this one belief, getting whatever. And that's how we make that progress. That's how we can improve.
Yeah. You said that's how we can begin, like you said, to start living on purpose, to start doing things with intention, and to start doing things with gratitude. And you know, it all starts, again, as with a lot of things that we're hearing about and all of the little buzzwords and things that are going on, we're just finding that it all starts from within. It's right. All within us. It's all within me. It's all within you to be able to put that foot in front of the other foot and say, okay, this is, you know, I'm not happy with where I am. Okay. So let's recap a little bit. So that way we can make sure that we're staying to course here. You know, it starts with that level of awareness, right? It starts with that being able to say, okay, I know that something is wrong. Something is not going right. I'm not happy with where I am. You know, I'm not feeling or experiencing that joy. You know, I just know that something is off. And then the next step, of course, is now I need to search, seek out help. I need to ask for help. You know, I need to begin to educate myself about the things that are going on around me too, because it's like you said, we're in an age of technology. There isn't a reason for us to, you know, unless we are limited, we have limited access to technology, that we can't begin to go and research and just say, okay, well, these are some things that are happening. Let me just type in it, even if it's just typing it in Google. You know, I'm feeling low. What are some symptoms of what happens when you're feeling this particular way? And just begin to see, you know, because once we have the words, we know how to ask for help. Sometimes people don't ask for help because they don't know what to ask. Right. You know, and they don't want to appear to be, you know, to you know, be, for a better sense of the word, they don't want to appear to be ignorant to things, because they're like, oh, you know, I don't know what to ask. I don't want to just go up and tell somebody, like, help me, because I just don't feel good. They don't want to do that, right. You know? So it's just a matter of going in and taking that deeper dive. But, you know, at least starting there on that path, okay? Help me finish walking the path as we from there. We've gotten to that point. We're starting to get the you know, that information. What should we do next?
So what I help people with is clear out those negative emotions, those limiting beliefs, that all that stuff that's blocking you from seeing that journey, seeing that path of where you want to go. And let me just, I want to back up for a second, because we talk about purpose and it can be seem like a big word, you know, that big hairy goal or whatever they call it. There's a lot of words they say about this big audacious goal and stuff like that. When I wake up every morning, I have a purpose, and that purpose is to get out of bed.
Amen.
And then guess what my next purpose is? Feed those cats, because they got to eat. And it goes from there. So you can have those purposes that are just those steps, just those, hey, I got to do this. I'm going to do this. I want to do this.
Right.
But it all leads to my big purpose. It all leads to that umbrella. So let's get caught up in that word being scary, because it's not, you know, it could be very incremental, and celebrate those small little wins, getting out of bed. For some people, getting out of bed in the morning could be a big deal. If you're in that place, you know, and I think some of us have seen that in our lives, and go from there. But so I want to just say that because I always tell people I'm coming from a place of loving and caring, and I want to help you. There's no judgment. There's no judgment because it doesn't do me any good to judge. I'm here to help. And I just need to know the truth so I can help you on your path. But we clear all that out. Let's get rid of those things that are holding us back from being able to see that. And then let's say, wait a minute, now that's clear. I can see that I want to do something. And it doesn't have to be, oh, well, I'm going to pick one thing and then that's all I'm going to do in my life.
Right.
Regardless of what age you are, you can pick something and it can change. But pick something that's like, you know what, that you said joy. That's a beautiful word. Yeah. Something that brings me joy. They say bliss, right? A lot of words that feeling of love inside that we have to break it down, whatever that is to you. And let's go towards it. Now let's build a plan. Now let's build. Now I'm going to help you. We got rid of the stuff. Now let's build those tools that you need because the goal is, and it's not a great business model, but the goal is for you not to be my client anymore.
Right.
Help you clear all that out. Help you see your path, set it, give you the tools to help you go there, help you along that path getting there, and then let you just live your life. And you know, you might come back for a tune-up every now and then, just like your car, right? You have a Ferrari, you still got to get those tune-ups. So you come back, but you're coming back just to course correct a little bit just to do that. So it's a long journey. It's a marathon and we're all in it together.
I love it. You know, and as you say, you know, people will listen and they'll say, oh, well, you know, it's easier said than done. But just like you said, it has to be done in increments. You know, they tell you to eat the elephant one bite at a time, or, you know, you really have to get to a place where you're saying, you know, it's about the small wins. You know, I think about that even in my weight loss journey. It wasn't about what the scale said. Sometimes I wasn't a pound hound. Sometimes I was an inchworm. so it was those small victories, you know,
right.
And we have to get to that place where we just say, okay, you know, we're so hard on ourselves. Or sometimes we see the bigger picture for other people and we're, you know, trying to compare ourselves to them. And just like you said, one path, each path is an individual path that is uniquely yours. And it's not going, you know, just like you said, you're going to help that person get to where they need to go, but it's not the same path for everyone. It's not that we're all on this big, one big main road. There are several variations and, you know, different ways that we can go to get there. And we just have to be willing to love ourselves enough to celebrate ourselves and our victories and not have it be scaled to someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, we're so caught in, and I think that sometimes social media and other things will hype up those wonderful things that you know, we see people doing, but we don't see any of that behind the scenes and what it took to get there. And we just strive to reach that point. And that may not be the point where we're supposed to be. So, you know, I love that you said it. It's one path. Each person's path is different. And each person has to you know, accept and obtain those victories for themselves. And I think that comes from self-love and, you know, and an appreciation for ourselves. We have to get to that space first. And if we need help getting there, then we need help to get there. And we just have to simply start asking for it. And like you said, that comes also not just from the professionals, but from the people that we choose to have around us. And are the people around us serving us? Are they helping to uplift and edify, you know, and bring us to a place of enlightenment? Or are they pulling us down like crabs in a barrel? You know, I think those things are important too.
I was just going to say something that's, I do want to mention before we close down. That's been a beautiful conversation, but is self-compassion is the key. Take it easy on yourself. But here's the thing. In Buddhism, we say compassion is a verb. So you be kind to yourself. Take those small wins know that there's steps you can take to get to where you want to go and take action on those steps. That's the key.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Jason, tell me how people can get in contact with you, because I know that there are some who are going to be looking to go on this journey, and they've been and you've their interest and they're like about that. So tell people how they can get in contact with you.
So the easiest way is my company is called One Path Coaching, and my website is just that, www.allspelledout, onepathcoaching.com. Or you could, because your audience, it was great. I love to hear from people. So you can, it's onepathcoaching@gmail.com. You could just email me directly. I'm very active on social media, LinkedIn. I'm a little bit on Instagram, a little bit on Facebook, just for some groups, but LinkedIn is where I spend most of my time. But yeah, my website has all my contacts and you can just email me directly. Awesome. I love to talk to folks. I love to have conversations. Awesome. So I would love to hear from you.
Awesome. I absolutely appreciate that. You say you're taking time out to come and share space with me and talk about, you know, the importance of being able to do this, about living our lives on purpose, because it's so important, you know, as we age, to age gracefully and to enjoy it and to embrace it. You know,
right.
Life is, you know, they I cannot remember the statement that they give when they're talking about living life and how, you know, if you don't live your life, you're dying. Or something, if you're, or yeah, I know I'm getting it wrong. Somebody's going to correct me, and I hope they do.
That's but good.
but it's about, you know, about making sure that we're getting the best out of it, that we're enjoying the now, that we're finding the harmony of life. You know, sometimes, like I tell people, it's not about balance. Sometimes it's not about this. Sometimes it's about the flow. Right. How are we doing things to create the melody that is our lives, that is the music of our lives? Each sheet of music is scored differently. And I think we just have to get to that place of harmony and get to that place of being able to cope, which is my acronym for create our peaceful existence. How are we doing that? And this is one way. So this is something that you can put into your mental, spiritual, and physical toolbox that's going to help you, you know, as you go through your wellness journey. So again, thank you so much for being with me, Jason, for sharing this space and for sharing your wisdom and for, you know, giving people an opportunity to see how they can live their lives on purpose. Now, before we go, I always ask my guests, you know, how are you living in the now? What are some things that you're doing to live in this space that you're in?
There's three things that I talk about. I talk about the three connections: connection to self, connection to others, and connection to a higher power. And what we call that God, source, universe, Gaia, a lot of different names, nature, a lot of names. And I really focus on that. So I focus on connecting with myself. I meditate. I do a little 5-minute Dan Millman workout every morning to get physically into my space. And then I meditate to get to center myself. Connected with others. I work with a lot of community. I do community work. I volunteer a lot of different places. I love people. This community, you know, meeting folks like you is beautiful. And I really thrive on that, to make that connection. That's very important to me. And then, you know, connection to something bigger than myself. I love nature. And I'll take a walk almost every day. I take a walk, rain or shine. I get outside, I get outdoors. Commune with nature. That's where I see source. I see God within myself, you know, and just that's meditation as well, going within and getting silent. And so just really focusing on those three connections and just living in the moment is how I accomplish that.
Lovely. I absolutely love that. Well, like I said, my hope is that you'll return. You are now officially part of the How Now family. And so you know that you can always come back and talk to us about neurolinguistics and about the other things that are going on in your now, because what's happening now may not be what's happening 2 minutes, 2 weeks, 2 days, 2 hours, 2 years from now. So you are always welcome to come back. And we'll be happy to have you and to continue to share space with you. So before we go, one more time, is there any parting words that you want to leave with our listeners before we go?
No, I've said it all. It's been a beautiful conversation. And just, you know, find your purpose, live your purpose, and enjoy every moment, because every moment is your life.
Right. Every moment is your life. Okay. And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you all the next time, I say peace.